The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, why are so many people sailing at half mast these days? And worse yet, how many of these people have been living this way for so long that really they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Too many individuals suffer from a condition that I call acceptance. These people are guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Unfortunately, they really don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. Have you ever wanted to find the true secret to a successful and fulfilling life? Well, of course you have. Who wouldn't? But who wouldn't really want to live a life of abundance in every sense of the word? Millions of people around the globe are in an endless search for self-discovery. Let's face it, everything we do in life is to ultimately arrive at what we call the gates of happiness. Unfortunately, too many of us just aren't really sure how to get there. Dr. Robert Anthony once said, "You can have anything you want if you will give up the belief that you can't have it." How many of us are slaves to our limiting self-beliefs? Too many times we limit ourselves with false beliefs that we accept as these undeniable truths. Let me give you an example. That we're too old, or we're not old enough. We're too out of shape, we're too far gone, too lazy, not good-looking enough, not rich enough, or just not good enough. How many of us steer ourselves right into the pathway of these false beliefs until they actually become our new reality? Remember, perception always equals reality. I can't say it any better than Mark Twain. He once said, "I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened." Once you learn the keys to overcoming self-doubt and actually apply these to your life takes on an entirely new meaning, one that is conducive to a life that's worth living. And I have just the person to help you steer yourself right in that direction. Today's guest is a New York Times best-selling author. She's an internationally recognized expert in the area of destiny achievement. Through her teachings over the past 25 years, she's inspired individuals, professional athletes, and organizations to realize their goals and reach their maximum potential. Please welcome the best-selling author of The One Thing, The One Secret to a Totally Fulfilling Life, Peggy McCall. Welcome to Transforming Health.
Thanks so much, Brad. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I loved your opening. That was great. Very thought-provoking.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I just received the book. I know you were actually just in Whistler, were you not?
Yes, I was.
Were you there for the Olympics?
No, we arrived the day after the Olympics ended, and it was so quiet out there. I couldn't believe how quiet it was.
Right, right. Well, you know, I received your book just last week, and I started skimming through it, and, you know, no offense, Peggy. I mean, you know, there's so many self-help books that are out there, and they pretty much all say the same thing when you really think about it. I'm going to be honest, this was different. This was really different, and I wanted to start off because your book, just for those who are listening, it's called The One, the W-O-N, The One Thing, as if, you know, we're winning something, as opposed to the one or the individual thing. So, you know, what made you come up with this kind of a title? Was it just because it was a catchy name, or was there actually a meaning to this?
Both. I would say both, but it started with the meaning. And the meaning was that in my own life, I searched for one thing. You know, I had this preconceived idea or belief, you know, as you were talking about in your introduction, that there must be one thing that can fix my life. So I was forever on this, let's call it a treadmill, you know, like I'm having this image of a little rat that's going around and around and around on a treadmill getting nowhere. And so my expectation or my belief was that there must be one thing that's going to make me feel fulfilled.
Right.
So I was on this pursuit of that for 20 years. Now we'll talk about slow learner. And so, you know, when I realized what the one thing really is, which wasn't until I was in my 40s, that I decided I want to write a book on it, because I'm not alone in that pursuit. That, and I still hear it. You know, I work with authors, as you know, and I hear authors thinking that there's just one particular formula that's going to make you a New York Times bestseller. I think there's fundamentally some things that'll always be there. It's like you were talking about, Brad, and you're an expert in, and, you know, understanding that, you know, we control our energy and
right.
our thoughts, and, you know, we're creative beings. So we play a role in all of that. But at the end of the day, we're all unique. And even though, you know, you're talking about acceptance as well in your introduction, one of the images that I had there is my mom used to accept that she just lived a life of misery, and I've now reached a point where I accept that I'm living this incredible life.
Right.
So acceptance can be a wonderful thing. It really can
because
be
it's our reality. It's our perception of our surroundings. But, you know, the majority of the population seems to be, I often say these people are sailing at half mast because, you know, you just don't see a lot of happy people walking around.
No,
you know,
don't.
Like yourself, I travel all over North America and I lecture, and I find myself very early in the morning. I make it my business to go out and exercise. So I always get my publicist to put me in a hotel that either has a great gym or is in close proximity to a gym. And I find myself when I'm, you know, walking to the gym very early in the morning, you know, all over these, you know, different places around North America, I try to make it my business to strike up a conversation with a complete stranger. And, you know, I've often found that there's certain places that you can get away with that, and people will be very receptive and happy, and, you know, they love to carry on a conversation. But there's other places where you can almost get arrested doing it because people don't, you know, they're just not receptive. Why do you think, or maybe you don't even feel that, but why do you think the majority of people just aren't really that happy?
Well, I think it's habitual behavior that, and I think that's a blessing in some ways, and then it's a curse in other ways.
Right.
Remember, my mom used to say, this is a blessing, this is a curse, this is a blessing, this is a curse. And I think because we're habitual creatures, it can be a curse. So meaning that, you know, we tend to act the way that we've learned, and we tend to do the same things every single day. It's like we get up every day and we just start to create the same thing. It's like people say it's same old, same old. Well,
right.
Same old, because they just keep creating the same thing. But we're, you know, because we're these creatures that are creatures of habit, we need to break out of those patterns. You know, we need to do something a little bit differently, subtly. It's like you talked about people being at half mask. I think you're giving people a lot of credit, more credit than maybe what's there, because I see people not even, you know, their mask isn't even up.
Right, right.
It's not even on the pole.
Well, so what about this then? I mean, you know, why do you feel then, as an author and as an expert in your area, why are people so intent on finding this one thing? And before you answer that, you know, as a nutritional researcher, I come across this all the time where I can do a complete lecture on obesity, and no matter what I've said in that two-hour lecture, there will always be people in the audience that put their hands up and say, Brad, I don't want to diet, I don't want to exercise, you know, I want to keep my coffee and all my alcohol. What's that thing? What's that magic pill that I can take? It's as if they didn't get anything that I was trying to explain to them. So, you know, what's that all about? Why are we as a whole always trying to find the one thing?
Well, I think it's because there's dissatisfaction for one reason, and so if there's a search of any kind that's going on, it's because we're not satisfied with our current situation, and we believe that there's something better out there, something that's going to make us feel differently. And I find that interesting that you say that, you know, people in your audience are, you know, wanting to do the same things, but they want a different result. And it makes me chuckle It's kind of sad, though, because I hear the same thing. You know, I'll work with clients in a one-on-one capacity. I do lecturing. I do group classes, et cetera, but I do take on some clients in a one-on-one. I started working with this one woman who's in her 50s, and I'm in my 50s as well. And, you know, she was just basically saying that, you know, I don't really want to do anything different. And you know, I just figure my life's probably just destined to be like this. And so, you know, what is it that you recommend? I'm thinking, holy smokes. And there's a lot of things that she could change, but they're not going to be painful. They're not going to be drastic. They're going to be simple. So we just started off with some real simple things. It's like, you know, when you meet a trainer, a personal trainer who says, okay, well, I understand you want to make some radical changes in your physical body. And if you want radical change, you got to take radical,
right?
You know, effort. But if you want to have some change, you know, I suggest, and this is one trainer that I remember, she said that what she does is she'll start very simply with small things that people can do that can start to change their habits so they can do different things. It's like, you know, people that want to get in better health, I'm sure you've got the simple things too. Same thing with getting ourselves emotionally in better condition. I think our emotions are like muscles. And for the most part, you know, we need to work on particular muscles, happiness muscle, worthiness muscle, faith
right.
muscle, love muscle, in order to experience things differently. But it'll take time. I think
yeah.
that's one of the frustrating things people find is, I want it now.
Well, there you go. And we all are, I think as a whole, we're looking for that quick fix, that magic, you know, pill,
right.
that silver bullet. You know, and it's funny that you say that because there was actually a study that was presented last year, and it was actually, believe it or not, done on women who undergo Botox injections. And
okay.
what they did was they looked at these women and they found that as a whole, these women that undergo Botox are actually happier people. And, you know, as they found out, it's not because the women feel they look better that they're happier. It's because they can no longer frown and they're actually sending these false signals to the brain that, you know, where they're kind of fooling themselves into thinking, hey, maybe I'm a little happier than I actually am. So let's hold on to that thought. When we come back, I want to talk about fear is a very big part of what you write into the book, and I couldn't agree with you more, but I really want to expand upon that, and I really want my listeners coming away with things that they can, you know, put into practice and start immediately, because I think a lot of people need the advice that you've written in The One Thing. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and today we have the incredible Peggy McCall. We'll be right back with her and more of The One Thing.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Holistic living is nutrition for not just your body, but your mind and your soul. Holistic nutrition goes far beyond the foods that we eat or the supplements that we take. Discover natural means to heal your body and regain your innate healing powers. That's Holistic Living with Tina Marie Jones on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for your weekly dose of good holistic living.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another? Don't you wish you had some place to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. You have a question or comment about today's show? Please call into the program and talk to Brad and his guest now. 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or you can always send an email to transforminghealth@shaw.ca. Now, back to the program.
Frank Outlaw once said, "Watch your thoughts, they become words. And watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny." In order to transform your life, you have to first and foremost get rid of your false limiting self-beliefs. Your self-image guides your habits. So if you see yourself as someone who just can't get ahead no matter what you do, you may be subconsciously guiding yourself in that very direction. On the other hand, when you consciously try to trade negative habits and ideas for positive ones, well, your self-image eventually accepts those habits and these ideas as your new reality. In other words, act as if you're already the person that you want to become. Today's guest is the president and founder of Dynamic Destinies Incorporated, an organization responsible for training authors, entrepreneurs, corporate leaders, and employees in some of the most compelling and strategic goal-setting technologies of our time. Please welcome back to Transforming Health, New York Times best-selling author, Peggy McCall. Peggy, welcome back.
Thanks, Brad. It's great to be here with you.
Well, I'm excited. I'm really excited about this topic. And, you know, for those of the people that are just joining us to the show right now, you know, I had mentioned at the very opening of the show that I've read, you know, my fair share of self-help books. And I know you talk about this in the one thing, especially at the beginning of the book. You talk about your road to, you know, self-discovery and how many of these, you know, these books that you read and these seminars and these tapes and these CDs that you listened to and all these things that you watched. But, you know, this is different. The one thing is different, and I'm going to give you a very big compliment here, and I really do mean this sincerely. Number one, I think this is a book that can help the great majority of the population. We're talking about The One Thing, W-O-N. So it's available at the majority of bookstores. You can probably get this on Peggy McCall's website. What is your website, Peggy?
It's destinies.com, which is D-E-S. T-I-N-I-E-S.com, destinies.com.
Perfect. What I'm going to say is I'm actually just about to go to California, and I don't really travel with many books when I go to California because I always pick up a lot of books from people that I meet there. But this is one of those books I said, you know what, I'm actually going to bring this on the plane with me, and I'm going to read it again because I really just skimmed through it the first time because I really think there's a lot of things in here that can not only help my life but help me in turn help other people. And one of the things I want to talk about is there's a constant message in this book, The One Thing, that we use fear as a means to create an unhappy future. And some would argue that part of being human is to worry about our future. So how would you suggest changing this, this human trait that basically all of us have?
Wow, what a fabulous question. And I think the first thing to understand is that fear is a very real emotion. It also can serve us in a way that can allow us to be cautious about certain things. And so there's a good side of it. And the other side of it is that it can be very destructive. You know, if we fear things that aren't real, we make it up in our head and we can literally destroy our results. So we need to pay attention to it. Also need to recognize that fear is like an emotion. If you think of a dimmer switch on the wall, and in my dining room I have a dimmer switch, goes up, goes down. If it's on high, the light is illuminated in the room. If it's on the lower, lower end of the switch, it's dark, obviously. And so fear is the bottom end of the switch. Faith is the top end of the switch. And we're either vibrating or experiencing or feeling, if you will, the emotion at one end of that scale or another. So if we're feeling fear, there's no way we can feel faith. There's no way. But there are things that we can do, I call them switching techniques, that we can do that can help us move up that scale to a more happier, fulfilling emotion called faith. And the first thing we need to do is become aware. Just notice, you know, if we're feeling that emotion. Like a lot of people, you know, as you know, Brad, there was a recession that apparently went on in the last little while. I didn't participate. I don't think you did either. And but there were a lot of people that were caught up in that, and so I mean it was a lot of I spent a lot of time helping people with getting through that particular issue, the fear of money, not having enough money, taking their home away, losing their jobs, losing business, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, when you start to feel fearful, like the switch just gone down at the bottom of the scale, everything becomes dark.
Right.
You can't even see the opportunities or the possibilities. Whereas there are people that were making millions, like just businesses, exploding and evolving, and entrepreneurs just coming out of the woodwork, and so there was an opportunity. It's a matter of making that shift and making the distinction. But I think it really starts with awareness. So let's become aware.
Right.
That we're having the emotion, and then let's make a decision. We're going to switch it.
You know, it's very interesting. I've done a lot of research in stress physiology, and not a really well-known physician, but in 1949 there was a Portuguese physician by the name of Iguez Moniz, who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine because he started to perform, believe it or not, frontal lobotomies on many of his psychotic patients because he found it would really relax them. And this was, believe it or not, in the 1930s, this was a way of treatment for people who really didn't respond well to different types of psychiatric medications or prescription medications for depression, people who had high anxiety. So what they would do is they would literally destroy the front part of their brain, and they would do it either chemically, or they would even do it sometimes with instruments that were as crude as a pick. And what they found was these individuals didn't really lose their intelligence like we think they did, but what they did was they were able to calm down. And it turned out that when they ruined this portion of the brain, they couldn't really think of their futures anymore. And what was so interesting about that was the minute they stopped thinking about the future, they relaxed their bodies, because the majority of those thoughts that we have for our future are usually fearful, exactly what you said. So, this is really ingrained into us, because as a human beings, we're constantly worrying about many of the things, as I mentioned, which, thank goodness, the majority of them don't even occur within our lives. But I think it's easier said than done. There's got to be, is there one thing that we can do to kind of help people get past that fear?
Yeah, I would say there's three things. One is just to notice that it's there.
Right.
Two is decide that you're going to make a change. And then three is to think of what it is that you want to experience. So, I've had experiences in my life where I felt an enormous amount of fear. And so what I would do is I'd ask myself the question, well, Peggy, what is it that you want to experience? And so that would change my focus. It would change what I was thinking about. It would change what I'm feeling, because I'd start to think, well, what I want to experience is, a positive result. I want to experience owning this home. I want to experience having a successful business. I want to experience having a happy marriage. I want to experience whatever it was at the time. So you ask yourself a question, that obviously leads to an answer that's positive, then you're going to change how you feel. And that happens in an instant. I mean, you can have that happen in an instant, but it's not something that you should do just for an instant. You do it again and again and again until it becomes so habitual that emotion of feeling good and that ability to switch over to feeling good just becomes a habit.
So basically, you're changing the program, because the programs are subconscious. From the time we were small enough to, try to mimic our parents and everything that we've been told that we can't do. When we're little, let's face it, you probably dreamed of, doing absolutely everything, and then people told you, oh, you can't do that, or that's just for, the special people, or you need to be a millionaire to do that, and you'll never be a millionaire because that's less than 1% of the population. So it's really almost like training your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, it is training your mind. But honestly, as I hear you explain that, I don't even think I had those dreams, because in our household, that wasn't even a possibility. So and even outside of the household, it just didn't come up. Or if it did, I would probably have instantly canceled it out.
You did that when you were young, you mean?
Yes, yeah.
How did you do that when you were young? Because who told you that that was even wrong at that time?
Well, it was what I lived in. It was the experience. My parents had struggled, and their parents had struggled. I mean, they just had this incredible lives, and not incredibly good, incredibly horrific.
Right.
Incredibly horrific stories. And so it was just the way I thought it was, that, I was destined to live a life of misery as well and live in poverty. And both my parents worked. I was the youngest of four kids, and both parents worked. And there were periods of time where each of them had three jobs, not just one job, but three jobs to try and put food on the table.
Wow.
They worked very, very hard.
So speaking of that, you mentioned that no amount of praise will be accepted if we're suffering from unworthiness, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
But, you know, do you feel that the self-sabotage and the constant negative feelings are keeping us from reaching that one thing within our lives?
Oh, my goodness, no question. And that was a big one for me. That was a big one. So if anyone's read any of my books, they'll see that. It's sort of a common thread that went through because it was a big blocker. I mean,
right.
it stopped me from experiencing love. I mean, now I have it, but it took me, you know, a couple decades to realize that I didn't believe I was worthy of it. I didn't believe I deserved it. Now, one thing, though, that I did experience at a very young age, you know, when I was in my late teens, which is a young age, is that I felt that I was worthy of making money. And I think because I saw my parents work so hard and they had that work ethic, you know, I got out into the world and started working, and I did very well, you know, in business. I've always done really well in business and had a great career and have a great career.
Right.
So it wasn't a matter of deserving that part of it. For me, it was the love part of it.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think, you know, if there's that one emotion that we all strive for, I mean, it's love, it's happiness. I mean, everything we do within our lives is to achieve happiness, whether it's, you know, whether it's trying to have children when we're younger or at any age. We have children because we think they're going to bring happiness into our lives, even though it's not all that happy when we have the kids. I think we do the same with marriage, right? I mean, you know, we want to get married, we want to bring our relationship to that next level. Why? Because it's going to make us happy, yet it's not all an easy road. So I think everything we do within our lives is to achieve that ultimate goal of happiness or love or the two that are combined. And I want to talk about that when we come back. I also want to talk about your New York Times bestseller, Your Destiny Switch, because, you know, real incredible information in that book. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, and we have with us Peggy McCall, New York Times bestseller. The One Thing is the book that we're talking about today, and we will be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network. Are you ready to get freed up? Join Dr. Jennifer Fried, one of America's leading psychological thinkers, for a groundbreaking program with fascinating guests and full participation from you. Freed Up will explore topics like liberation in long-term relationships, parenting in the 21st century, comfort in stressful times, and much more. Tune in to Freed Up every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel, and wake up to the heartbeat of your life.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. You have a question or comment about today's show? Please call into the program and talk to Brad and his guests now. 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or you can always send an email to transforminghealth@shaw.ca. Now, back to the program.
Famous motivational speaker Dennis Wheatley once said, if you believe you can, well, you probably can. If you believe you won't, you most assuredly won't. Belief is the ignition switch that gets you off the launching pad. It is never too early, and it's never too late, for that matter, to change your habits for the better. Your past doesn't have to equal your future. If you learn to alter your negative patterns for healthier, positive ones, you can change the course of your destiny. Believe and act as if it was impossible to fail, and you will have no choice but to succeed. Joining us today is an internationally recognized expert in the area of destiny achievement. Please welcome back the best-selling author of The One Thing, The One Secret to a Totally Fulfilling Life. Peggy, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Brad. This is so much fun. I could go on like this for hours.
Well, I appreciate that. Maybe that's what we'll do. Maybe I'll never have any other guests. We'll just keep, we'll make this the Peggy McCall and Brad King show.
That sounds good to me.
let's talk about this. The feeling of loneliness, you know, it's one that we experience even when we're around others. A lot of people do anyway. You hear people saying that, you know, no matter what, I just don't feel like I have many people that I can count on. You know, share with us some of the tips that, you know, for my listeners regarding how to overcome such an unhealthy emotion as loneliness.
Oh, yeah, I love that. You know, when I was a teenager, I mentioned, you know, that a little earlier in the show that, you know, I had a lot of, you know, sort of surrounded with lots of negativity. Now, fortunately, I met this gentleman named Bob Proctor, who I know that you know, and he'd been hired by this company that I worked for to be an opening keynote speaker. And I was not into personal development. I'd never read a personal development book ever, and I was just a very sad, lonely, insecure girl. And I ended up sitting in the front row at Bob's session. I'm not sure how I ended up there. It might have been the last seat available, and I just had to sit there. But I was so glad that I did, because he said something that evening that forever changed my life, which really leads to this loneliness question, and that is, he said, you cannot escape from a prison unless you know you're in one.
Wow.
And I was in a prison. I was in a prison of negative emotions. You see, I was lonely. And you see, I just thought it was a destiny thing, that I was destined to feel like that and to live my life like that. And it wasn't until I realized, wait a minute, I'm the one who locked myself away in this emotional prison. There isn't even a prison. I mean, nobody's holding a key. The door's not barred.
You know, sure, sure.
It's not dark and insecure. So, you know, we have to first realize, that's why awareness is so important. I mean, in every one of my books, I talk about awareness and how important that is. So we have to become aware that we're having an experience like loneliness that isn't, you know, it's not a positive one. It's a very destructive emotion. That one of the epiphanies that I have in Your Destiny Switch is that it only takes a little bit of poison to kill. And I'm sure, Brad, you're very much an expert in this area of how that affects the physical body.
Sure.
And loneliness will definitely affect the physical body. So, you know, there are things that we can do immediately. One is to just notice that it's there. And then two, make a decision we're going to change it. Because it's like you said about the quote, you know, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And or it was something like that.
Sure.
and that's the idea. You know, if we decide that we can make the change, then we're definitely on our way. We can make the change. So, you know, just by putting a silly smile on your face, you know, at the break you and I were talking about, you know, the study that was done to say that women that have had Botox injections are actually happier. And the reason for that is because their face has become frozen, that they can't frown anymore. It sends this signal to their brain, and it becomes a habitual response. And it's the same thing with loneliness or sadness. If we start to practice feeling happy, putting a smile on our face, you know, like you do when you walk around and talk to people and have a happy conversation, we get into those practices.
Sure, unless I'm getting arrested by some of the people, right?
Yeah.
Smiling at the wrong people.
That's it. They're going to wonder what you've been drinking for breakfast.
Exactly. Well, so what about the people that are in denial, though? Because not everybody realizes that they're lonely, that they're a lot lonelier, you know, than they really are. So what do you have to say for those people that just don't know that they're actually lonely?
Well, what I have to say to them is that, you know, you have to be open to it. I think you really, really have to be open to it. You know, I mentioned my mom earlier, and my mom was a very loving and giving woman, but she was very sad. I mean, she's a very, very sad woman. And you know, I'd be, my mom lives in Toronto, I live in the Ottawa region, so I'd be driving down to go visit my mom, and I would be thinking about, okay, well, here I go. It's kind of like you put yourself into a situation where you're surrounded with lots of negativity.
Right.
And, of course, my mom would put on the TV in the morning, and it would be the news. And then she'd be watching those judge, you know, shows, you know, where there were people fighting over things. And then she would put on these other scary daytime shows where there were, you know, brothers and sisters who were lovers and, you know, like that. I mean, just horrible stuff all day long. And I'd be going down there and I'd sort of be getting myself mentally ready, you know, for this experience. And I would do things, you know, like she'd start to complain about things. And what I would do, and this is what I would say to someone, is I'd try and help them look at the positive side of things. I'd try and have them look at something a little bit differently. It's like I remember when Bob Proctor was speaking one time and he held up a book. And he said to the audience, he said, "Tell me what you see." And they said, "Well, you know, you're holding a book. We see this book. Well, what do you see? What's on the cover?" And they'd say the name of the book, like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Right. And he'd Great say, book.
And he'd say, "No, that's not what I see. What I see is this." And he was looking at the back of the book, which was a hardcover book, and there was nothing on the back of the book. And what he's saying is we both look at the same thing, but we look at it very differently. And some people look at things positively, and some people look at things negatively. So what I like to do is I like to help people look at it in a positive way. You know, so you've had an experience where, you know, you lost a loved one or whatever. You know, what has been a blessing in this experience? You know, sure, you're going to feel sad. I'm not saying don't ever feel sad.
Sure.
You know, you're never going to feel that. We are emotional beings. We're going to go up. We're going to go down. But we can always choose to look at situations in a different light. We can look at them and say, hey, what was great about this? What can I learn from this? You know, what will I never do again?
Exactly.
You know,
and that brings me to, you know, in the very first chapter, when I was looking at your book, you actually have a chapter called Rescue Me.
Yes.
And you mentioned that, you know, on this journey that you took to find that one thing within your life that you thought would bring, you know, you to that place of contentment, you thought it was that you were going to eventually be rescued by someone. So do you feel that being rescued is what the majority of us are really after? And, you know, why do you think we do need to be rescued for the majority of the time?
Well, I don't know about majority of people. I think definitely there are people that are looking to be rescued, you know, like girlfriends of mine who are single and think that when they find that man, that perfect man, that their life is going to be fulfilled and they're going to feel happy again. Well, you first of all have to be happy. If you're going to attract a man and you're sad, you're going to be sad after you attract the man. And sometimes it even gets worse because usually in a relationship there's a reflection thing going on where
right.
what you are is reflected in that other person. But if you want to have a happy relationship, then you need to be a happy person. I remember going to Bob Proctor in my early days and having a one-on-one, you know, sit-down conversation with him. And I said, "Bob, I'd really like to have, you know, a loving relationship in my life." And he said, "Well, what are you looking for in a man?" So I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, what's the man like? Describe him." So I said, "Oh, well, he's positive. He's easygoing. He has a great sense of humor. He takes care of himself. You know, he's energetic." And I would just describe this man, and Bob said, "Well, are you like that?"
And interesting.
You know,
are you attracting what you really want into your life?
Right. Right. And so the rescue, like, people think that they'll get rescued when. I had this conversation the other day with another girlfriend who said, "When I'm rich and famous, you know, I'm going to do this, this, and this," right? Well, how about starting to do some of those things now? I'm not talking about monetarily.
Sure.
But there's so much we can give of ourselves. You know, I was talking to Harvey McKay the other day, who the author of Swim with the Sharks Without Getting Eaten Alive. You know, very successful guy. And I did an interview with him, you know, for my author clients, because Harvey's had three of his books number one on the New York Times list.
Right.
So I love to study successful people, and I called Harvey and I said, "You know, tell me about, you know, what did you do to get your book on the number one spot on the New York Times list?" And he said, one of his answers was kind of surprising. I think surprising for some people. He said, "I like to give." He said, "I like to give a lot." And he says, "I give back in my community, and I volunteer." And he said that, you know, we should all make our life in volunteerism. And I found that completely fascinating.
Right.
And you know, all the guests that I've ever had on my radio show when I was doing my radio show, I don't remember anyone ever saying that. And it really struck me because, you know, he's talking about giving, and I believe that when we give, we always, the giver always gets back.
But I mean, you've got to come from the right place. I mean, because there's some people, let's face it, that give because they want to get something in return. That's not what you're talking about.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not talking about it. You can give a smile, like you do, Brad, when you're in another city, you're walking to the gym and you strike up a conversation. And, you know, we've heard that story about the kid who was planning his suicide and had, you know, left the home, wrote the note and left his home and went to go on the bridge and jump off. And he wrote in the note, he said, if just one person smiles at me, I'm not going to do this today. And somebody did. Someone smiled at him and obviously he, you know, was there to tell that story.
Right. Well, isn't that like that old adage where, you know, what would you do if you only had 10 minutes to live? You know, you're almost guaranteed that you're not doing that right now, and why aren't you doing that right now? You know, what people say is, oh, I would call all the people that, you know, I did wrong to within my life, and I would apologize to them, and I would call people that I care about, but I didn't tell them that, and I would tell them I love them. Well, why aren't you doing that now? Why don't we live our lives as if we really aren't going to be here in 10 minutes?
Wow, that's a great question. I was watching some mindless television the other night, which is such a treat, you know, to do every once in a while. And I was watching that show House, and I'm not a regular watcher of it, but I know some people that absolutely love that show. So I was kind of interested in what's this show all about.
Right.
And they had this girl on the show, you know, a young girl who they were trying to determine what was wrong with her, and they ended up, you know, discovering that she has cancer, lymphoma, and they had said to her, you know, you have lymphoma, and they weren't quite sure on this, but they gave her the diagnosis, you have lymphoma, and you're going to die in a year, and I think they gave her a year, and then they went away, and they realized it wasn't lymphoma that she had, it was a liver disease, it was something wrong with her liver, so they went back to her and said, you know what, we misdiagnosed, you actually don't have lymphoma, you have a liver disease. And she's like, oh wow, okay, good, you know, is this curable? And they said, well, actually the prognosis is even worse, you've got about 3 or 4 days to live. I know, it's like, holy smokes. And then they realized that, you know, it wasn't this actual liver failure, it was something else, and they could treat it. So by the end of the show, they were able to treat this woman. But I thought, holy smokes, like, you put yourself in this woman's position. Here she was, you know, feeling that she's going to die in a year, then feeling she's going to die in 3 or 4 days, only to find out she's going to live. Like, what a roller coaster.
What a roller coaster, and how many people would actually set that in motion where, you know, we hear that all the time, people that are being diagnosed with cancer, and they die right up until the day that they were told they were probably going to perish.
Yeah.
I want to leave my listeners with one thing before we come back, because when we do come back, do yourselves a favor, get out a pen, get out a paper. Peggy's going to be giving you actual tips that you will need to apply to your life today in order to change your destiny. But one thing I can share with you, maintain that positive attitude. There was actually a study that was performed at the Institute of Heart Math. This was in Boulder Creek, California, and they used 30 test subjects, and they used a technique that was designed to eliminate negative thought patterns but promote very positive emotional state. And they showed that there was a 23% reduction in cortisol. That's the most powerful stress hormone we could produce. But there was also a 100% increase in our anti-aging hormone called DHEA just by thinking more positively. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King and my guest today, New York Times bestselling author of The Destiny Switch, and today The One Thing, Peggy McCall. Will be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com. to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. You have a question or comment about today's show? Please call into the program and talk to Brad and his guests now. 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or you can always send an email to transforminghealth@shaw.ca. Now, back to the program.
If you are someone who lives by the adage, you only live once, then ask yourself this: how long do I want to remain alive? Life is not just about living or simply existing, it's about being alive while we're here on this earth. Life is definitely a miracle, but feeling alive is a constant work in progress. Oscar Wilde said it best: to live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist. That is all. Once again, the president and founder of Dynamic Destinies Incorporated and the author of The One Thing, Peggy McCall, there's not enough time. The show just flew by because of you.
It sure did.
Let's talk about your destiny switch, because this was a New York Times bestseller. You discuss the importance of managing your emotions in order to create this incredible life. Is it the control of our emotions that become that one thing that you think everybody is after?
You know, I think that's part of it. Absolutely a very important part of it is to recognize that our emotions are creative and they're destructive. So I think there's an understanding that's really required to understand what role are these emotions playing in our life. And that's why I wrote Your Destiny Switch, to help people understand the nature and the power of their emotions so that they can reach that understanding. And, of course, there's no amount of reading that's going to change your life. It's really the understanding and then the application.
Right.
That's really where the magic begins.
So when you talk about these emotions, I mean, you really, in the book, you really talk about gratitude. And gratitude has actually been scientifically proven to help us live longer, to help us lead, healthier lives. But I think most of us would love to feel that emotion of gratitude. But do most of us really know how to feel it?
You know, it's a very simple thing to do is just to ask yourself, what am I grateful for right now, or what can I be grateful for right now, and get into a practice of gratitude. You know, just yesterday my husband was telling me that he was studying. I mean, my husband loves golf, and he watches golf all the time in the tournaments, et cetera. And he was telling me that, trying to remember the golfer's name, Viega, I think is how you say his last name, and that within the last year, his game has improved significantly. And they did an interview with him and said, well, what's different? What have you done? Have you been in clinics? You've got a new pro. Like, what's going on for you? And he said, I now approach the game of golf with an attitude of gratitude.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
It is. And when you talk about gratitude, I mean, it's the little things. I mean, how many times, I don't know if, this happens to you. This has happened to me numerous times where I'll just hold the door open for someone. I do it as often as I possibly can. And you do get, I think, it's a 60-40, a 50-50, where people go, hey, thank you. But there's always those people that just walk through the door as if they were expecting you to hold the door open for them. And, a week ago, I went to this pet shop, and my wife and I were going in there to buy some stuff for our dogs, and we walked into the pet shop, and there was this lady. She was struggling with this big bag of kitty litter. It was like 25 pounds, and she was trying to get it into her car, and I said, hey, let me help you with that. And she went, oh. So she just kind of dumped it on me, which was fine, and I lifted it up, and I put it in her trunk, and I closed the door, and she got into her car, and she drove away. And
wow.
I thought, okay, I hope she thought that I actually worked at the store. And even if she thought that I worked at the store, would it have killed her to say thank you?
Unbelievable.
But that's the thing. I mean, with gratitude, shouldn't we just show people how grateful we are for all the little things that everybody does within their lives, and including us?
No, so true. And that's one of the things that I notice about my son, Michel, is that he's a very grateful young man. He's a 17-year-old young man, and I know some people talk about the challenges that they have with their teenager, and I'm so grateful. I don't have him. You know, he's a good kid. You had mentioned at the beginning of the show we were just out in Whistler, and I went there because he snowboards. I ski, but he snowboards and loves snowboarding, and he wanted to go back. I took him there last year on March break, and there wasn't a day on that trip where he turned to me and said, "Mom, thank you so much for bringing me here. Like, I really appreciate this and everything you do for me." But it's not like that once in a while. Like, my son came home from school while we're on this call. He got his gym stuff, and he took off, and he went to the gym. I remember a couple of weeks ago he did the same thing, came home from school, went and got his stuff, and he went over to the gym, and he called me from the car on his cell phone. He said, "Mom, I just want to thank you for all you do for me."
Oh, wow.
Right out of the blue. Now, how many parents have 17-year-olds that are calling? And, you know, where does he get that? You know, he gets that from observation. He gets
right.
that from witnessing it. You know, I'm so grateful for him. I'll thank him for being here, you know, for being polite, you know, for being respectful to my friends or visitors, just, you know, for being such a great kid. And he is. I'm so grateful for
him.
But,
Peggy, that's his way of getting back. That's it. By giving to you, by making you feel that good. How good do you think he feels?
No, true enough. You're absolutely right.
All it takes sometimes, and I don't think enough of us really think about that. I mean, how many times have you been or you've heard about people that are with partners and, you know, we hear about these partners that say, "Oh, you know, my lover or my boyfriend or my girlfriend never compliments me, never tells me I'm this or I'm that." And I hear it outside, and it just means so much more to me when I hear it outside. And really, all I want to do is I want to hear it at home.
True, and that's why they sway, right? They end up, or stray, I should say.
Right, you or know, sway and stray, whichever. I mean,
whatever.
Teach his own. Peggy, let's talk about this, because we don't really have that long left, really, in the show. And I want to talk about, in the book, the one thing. You write about your three simple steps, and I want people to really take this home, because I thought this was a very important part of the book, the sort, the match-up, and the modify. Tell us about these.
It's really a matter of creating your own winning formula. So the sort is to, you know, look through the huge amounts of information that you feel drawn to. Now, there's certain speakers, there's certain authors that I'm drawn to that I love their work. So it's not that you have to find, you know, listen to what everybody else, who are you drawn to? So that's the sort part. So look at, you know, what sort of you feel attracted to, book sections, speakers, audio programs, whatever, and then match up with what your own inner desires are. For example, when I was really working on the feeling of worthiness, you know, that was my inner desire. I knew I had to reach a higher level of that emotion. So to match up with teachers, with guides, with inspirational authors and speakers that would help me with that, that's the matching up process. And then, of course, then it's modify, because we're constantly evolving, changing beings. So modify, you know, learn and study from these people. But you don't have to buy everything that they're saying. You don't have to take it upon yourself to say, okay, I believe, you know, 100% of everything that Wayne Dyer ever says. Just, you know, modify to what you believe, what feels right to you. That becomes your winning formula.
I love that. You know, I've seen a lot of motivational speakers as well, and destiny achievers and teachers such as yourself. And I think it's very true that a lot of the upper echelon speakers out there such as yourself, I think every one of you takes a little bit of what you need from the other speakers out there and applies it to your message.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely.
And that's
true.
Okay, because you don't mind that.
Absolutely, and constantly doing it. I do it in business, do it with relationships, do it as a parent, do it for myself.
Right. Now, one more thing I want to talk about here, the details. Just really quickly, you talk about it's all in the details, and I'm a very detail-oriented person as well. Why do you think it's so important to be detail-oriented when you're changing your destiny?
Well, it's kind of like that expression, you know, just it takes a little attitude, you know, makes a big difference, or a little change makes a big difference. Like an airplane that takes off from Ottawa heading to Vancouver, you know, just slightly gets off course, just moves back on course, and you're going to land at the destination. So you got to watch those details, you know, watch for the things that you're doing every single day and pay attention to them and just find a way to become a little bit more, give a little bit more, love a little bit more, feel a little bit more every single day.
And you know what? Let's leave it right there, because that was absolutely beautiful. And I just want to leave one thing, and before we get to this, I want people to know that they can reach Peggy McCall, the author of The One, W-O-N, The One Thing. www.destinies.com, www.destinies.com. Peggy, I'm an absolute fan of yours. I absolutely want you to come back to the show.
Love to, Brad. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And for all of you who are listening, don't put your life off for one more second. Start the process of change today. The quality of your future literally depends upon it. As Elrond, the elf king, said to Aragorn in The Return of the King, become who you were born to be. I'm Brad King. This is Transforming Health. You will not want to miss next week's show. Tune in, and we'll see you then.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.